Hey everyone, it's Espo, and you've heard me talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night. So if you're dating life's boring, DraftKings will make your night exciting regardless. And it's simple to do, unlike dating. Or unlike marriage for those of you that are married. So draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. Every moment in a game means more, which is crazy because right now in the finals, every moment's about to give me a heart attack. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. It's DraftKings. That's all you need. That's what you need to know. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code TBPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code TBPN to get a free entry with your deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here, the voice of NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcome to the Solar Panel. Tonight's matchup, Espo versus the Silver Fox versus Carmel Thunder. Boomer Shakalaka! Ahoy, ahoy!
Well, it was another heartbreaker for the Phoenix Suns as they lose in Game 5 to the Milwaukee Bucks. We're all shaking our heads. How do you stop the Bucks? You can play great defense. You can force tough shots. And Milwaukee tonight wouldn't miss. And when they did miss, they'd get the offensive board or the 50-50 ball every fucking time. Every time. As well as Phoenix played. They pushed it all the way down to 1 point in that final minute. As well as they played, the Bucks were just simply better. For the second time this season, the Suns have lost 3 straight games. They first did so to get to 8-8 back on January 27th. They've now done it in the NBA Finals. Welcome to the pod, everybody. Welcome, Matthew. How you doing?
Hey, John. Not too good. You summed it up perfectly right there. You know, just everything went the Bucks' way. Not to say refs or anything like that. The ball just bounced their way tonight, and they hit difficult shots. All of them were pretty much Michael Jordan-esque all night long, and it was unreal. I've never seen anything like that. You know, when the Suns had everything go their way in the first half, in the first quarter, after that, it was just Bucks could not miss one shot. I know they missed some shots, but it did not seem like they did.
Yeah, I mean, it got to the point where, I mean, the Bucks missed 12 shots in the first quarter. For the next two quarters, they missed a total of 13. And like you said, you know, we were watching the game together, and you were like, dude, like, is everybody Jordan on this team? The Suns were playing good defense. They were. It's not like they were throwing up bad defense. There was some bad defense in the second quarter with a lot of wide open threes. But come the second half, the Suns really did a good job of forcing Milwaukee into some tough situations. And the Bucks just hit the shots. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis doing fallaways. It was just a smorgasbord of getting fucked is what it felt like. It just every which way it came from, the Suns just couldn't ultimately overcome. And then, of course, a lot of people sit and they'll take a look at that last possession with Devin Booker. Suns down 1 point. Devin Booker going down. He gets to the free throw line with P.J. Tucker on him. Has a chance to take his patented free throw line jumper and decides he wants to get in a little bit more, ultimately turns the ball over, and the worst case scenario situation happens on that possession. Turnover, fast break, alley-oop, dunk by Giannis. So there's your highlight that we'll be seeing on ESPN for the next 3 days, and an and one.
Yeah, that's why we don't watch that stuff, right? But yeah, he was there. He was there for the shot, and I honestly thought, I was like, oh, this is it. He had PJ Tucker on him. Pull up, make that jump shot. He's been on fire all game. I thought it was over. I thought the Suns would take the lead there. And I was like, there's no way we're going to win this game. But when Book was entering underneath the three-point line, I'm like, this is over, dude. The Suns got this. And just went too deep on that play. But
yep. Well, you know, it's a seven-game series. The Suns are down 3-2. So it is headed back to Milwaukee. And they're going to have to do the same thing. They're going to have to win on Milwaukee's floor. And I think the frustrating thing is for the past two games, I felt like the Suns were, you know, they deserve to be here. They're the better team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they couldn't pull it out. So with that being said, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the podcast. He's Matthew. I'm John. We'll see if Espo, Saul, and Dave join us at some point. But I'm definitely cracking open a cold one because I need it. And let's talk about this loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. So it is a game five loss for the Phoenix Suns, and they are now down 3-2 in the series to the Milwaukee Bucks. Welcome to Saul. Welcome to Espo. How are you gentlemen feeling?
You know what? If the Suns are going to win a title, they're going to do it in the most brutal, grueling, painful way possible. And somehow that feels like it would be about appropriate for everything this fan base has ever been through. So you know what? There's still a game. There's still a chance that there's two games. So why the hell not Suns in seven? Let's just, you know what? It sucks. The last three games have sucked, but you know what? If anything can happen, anything's possible, right? And if they're going to win it, you know they were going to put us through the ringer before they did it at any point. So why not? Why not? Let's keep a little bit of faith in these guys, even though they haven't warranted it over the last three games right now.
How you feeling, Saul?
Honestly, I mean, I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off, but Jesus Christ, the Bucks were unbelievable in the second, third, and half of the fourth quarter. I mean, and Middleton finishing it out the way he did. I mean, those were tough shots. Bridges could only do so much to defend Middleton on that one shot. And it just, I know a lot of people are going to have PTSD and say, you know, we just can't catch a break and stuff, but it was rough. It was rough, but you know, this team came back. I mean, there were so many people on Twitter that gave up on the team in the fourth quarter thinking that they didn't even have a shot. And then they got to within one. And then, you know, we all know what happened in the last 30 seconds, which is very unbelievable, and it's frustrating. That's what it is. It's frustrating. But again, like Espo said, they still got one more game to go to possibly extend this and get it back here for a game seven. It's not over. It's just not over. And this team hasn't lost four games in a row since way back in, what, January?
They haven't lost four in a row this season.
Okay, there you go. And so, you know, is it really going to happen here in the finals? God damn, I hope it doesn't.
Look, it's time for Monty to look in the mirror, though. Monty's given a lot of speeches to these guys. It's time for him to give himself one because there were questionable calls. I don't know what that small lineup was trying to accomplish in the second quarter. There are things that he needs to clean up, too. This is not just on the team. This is not a, you know, everything's on the other side of hard moment at this point. It's look at yourself and decide what you can change, how you can impact it.
I also think that, you know, that the same thing can be said about Devin Booker and Chris Paul. There were moments where they were just kind of in a funk and they didn't trust their teammates. Bridges had an unbelievable night shooting, could barely get the rock. Cam Johnson, I don't think he missed a three tonight, couldn't get the rock. Like, you got to trust your teammates. That's what made you so successful all year. And then it came crunch time, and in the third quarter when they were struggling to find a bucket, they didn't trust their teammates and they were open. Like, you got to do that. And Booker on the stats, you know, obviously he had 40 plus points and he had 10 or 12 straight for the Suns to keep them alive. But again, like, you know, a lot of people are pointing out, like, the one thing that the Suns team could do all season long was share the ball, and in these last couple of games the ball has not been shared as much as before. If you'd have told me before the game that Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton all were going to have 20-plus points, I'd have said that they won. But that wouldn't have counted for what I'm going to call the Drew Holiday game. And I could see it coming in the first quarter. He was hitting a couple shots. Even though he fouled out, I thought, I can tell he's feeling himself. And he had a hell of a game tonight, too. He finally bounced back and shot the ball well, and then he made the best play of the game by ripping Devin Booker when the game was on the line. You got to make plays like that.
That's on Booker, though. He drives
into no- Hold on. Let's back up. I want to talk about Jrue Holiday real quick. And Saul's exactly right. This was the Jrue Holiday game. And again, you know, kind of to echo what Espo said, Monty Williams does need to look in the mirror as a coach, and so does Chris Paul and Devin Booker, the guys who are responsible for guarding Jrue Holiday. Because guess what? The Suns did exactly what they should have done in the first quarter. They got Jrue Holiday into foul trouble. And then what happened? 7 turnovers by the Bucks, and the Suns go absolutely apeshit in the first quarter and have a 16-point lead. And then no one attacks Jrue the rest of the second quarter. Nobody tries to get him in foul trouble. Take a look at the series. Anytime Devin Booker gets close to foul trouble, the Bucks attack. And that did not occur tonight. It didn't go on the other side. Monty didn't sit down with Chris Paul in a timeout and say, hey, attack that man. Get him in foul trouble, because if you don't, he's going to start cooking. And guess what? He started cooking. He started distributing. He started putting his stamp on this game. And it was preventable if you had, from a head coaching standpoint, made the observation to attack. And the Suns are known to do this. When Anthony Davis was hurt in the first round, Devin Booker attacked him and got him out of the game. And there's nothing wrong with going at a weakness. That's how you win these games, how you win finals, how you become champions. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, but most importantly, Monty Williams did not make those adjustments today. In the second quarter, he didn't make the adjustments. He went the small lineup that Espo mentioned. And guess what? They come out, they shoot 1-for-6 from three, and their 16-point lead goes to an 8-point lead. And he doesn't call a timeout. And it's just, you know, these are very, very poor coaching decisions that we've seen in these last 2 or 3 games from Monty Williams, where he's not stopping momentum, where we've seen the likes of Ty Lue in the Western Conference Finals take huge timeouts to kill momentum. Monty hasn't been doing it, and I don't know why he isn't.
But he hasn't done it all year. A tiger doesn't change his stripes, especially when you get to this point. So the timeout isn't what bothers me the most. It's the fact that Chris Middleton starts cooking you, right? And you leave Mikal Bridges on him, who the stats even said last game in that fourth quarter got killed by Chris Middleton. So what? It didn't start changing until you switched Booker onto him, right? At some point, you need to look at these things and accept, yes, Mikal Bridges is a very good player, but he cannot guard Chris Middleton right now, and change it up. Bring in Torrey Craig in some of those minutes. Let Booker play those minutes if he's going to get up in him. Those are the coaching decisions that bother me more, because you could see it in the numbers. Timeouts, fine, I get it, but that's Monty. That's the way he's done it. But matchups, you got to be smarter than that, because the little things are what's going to make the difference and have made the difference in these last two games. And that was a massive mistake by the Suns coaching staff.
Yeah, and everything John was saying earlier too, where the timeouts weren't called, moving the ball, trusting your teammates. That is everything the Bucks were doing tonight. They were trusting their teammates. They were calling the timeouts in the right spots whenever the Suns would get on a run. Towards the end of the game, of course, the Suns are going to come back, and it's very hard to stop for a team like the Bucks. But it's just like the coaching, it almost seems like, you know, he's being out-coached in a way that he just can't adjust, because Espo, you're right. It's been like this a lot during the season, and there was never any really adjustments that you can make, that Monty can make during the game to really change anything. And it's bleeding over into these games. And yeah, Suns, they haven't lost 4 games in a row, but we said a lot about, you know, they haven't done this yet, but it's happening in right now in the finals, and the Suns just got to figure it out quick, because it's do or die next game.
Well, and going back to the start of that second quarter, which I really feel like, you know, again, you can take stretches of time throughout different games and you can really go, you know what, that might have lost them the game. You go back to the Devin Booker possession in game 5 where the ball went off of PJ Tucker's foot. He's frustrated. He picks up his 5th foul on PJ Tucker on the other side of the floor when the Suns were up 6. That could have cost them potentially game 4. That little segment of time. That's what happens in the NBA Finals. Everything's magnified. But you go back to that second quarter, the Bucks were a plus 14 with Giannis on the bench. And you know what? Monty Williams didn't bring Devin Booker back in the game till 6:14 left in the quarter. Why? Is he saving his minutes for Tokyo? Why? Why is he not out there trying to get this team back on track, or to continue to buffer that lead that they had, instead of letting them come all the way back?
Because he thought that Devin Booker was going to come in that game and do what Chris Middleton did instead of him. That was why he held him out, because he wanted a closer and he knew Chris Paul couldn't be the closer. That was the problem. And Devin Booker wasn't the closer. Chris Middleton decided he was going to come in and be the closer. This game, this series is going to come down to two things. It's going to come down to two alley-oops that involved Giannis, one that was the block and the one that he got tonight after the turnover. And it's going to come down to two things with Devin Booker. When he couldn't keep his cool after that ball went off PJ Tucker and they called it off of him, and then him deciding to go full Kobe and drive into three guys and have nowhere to go. And that's why Drew Holiday got that ball away from him, because he went into hero ball mode in the last seconds. And he didn't, they didn't have a play. They didn't have, he didn't look for his teammates.
But they had a timeout. Why didn't they call a timeout?
I don't like the timeout, sir. I think you take the momentum. I think Booker had it. You guys didn't trust Booker at the end
with
that?
Booker drove into three guys.
Yeah, he had the shot. He continued going down.
He had the shot.
Such a bad decision.
He did not have it, yeah.
He should have taken the shot. He drove into the lane, which was the bad decision, and wasn't looking for a teammate. That was the problem there. Mm-hmm. Take the shot if you have it. He didn't, and he made a bad choice, ran into three guys, and Drew Holiday ripped it away from him. That's the difference here.
And think about that. In that situation,
out, though, John.
Go ahead.
No, just when Booker's out in the first quarter, second quarter, whenever, you're hoping that Chris Paul can come in when he is in and do what he was doing in the last playoff series. The finals, he has never taken over yet. He hasn't had those quarters where it's like, when Booker's out, we can trust him, because you can't trust him. Tonight, you just can't trust his play, whether he's injured or whatever. You just can't. I mean, he had that nice shot towards the end, which maybe should have been an and one to tie the game. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's not doing a lot to help the team, especially when Booker is out. We just need that other guy. The offense looks good when Paul is not on the floor. It sucks to say, but there's two games in a row.
This wasn't Chris Paul. Chris Paul played a pretty damn good game overall. This isn't on Chris Paul tonight. This is on a second quarter where they got out coached, and then a couple poor decisions towards the end. The one thing you could say about Chris Paul is, what the hell are you fouling Giannis on that for?
Not
stopping him. You're at his groin and his hands are already above the basket. Let him score and have a chance to tie the game. If you want to rip Chris Paul, that's where you rip Chris Paul. But the rest of his game was not bad tonight. Let me pull up exact numbers. CP3 tonight goes 9 of 16, 21 points, 11 assists, 2 rebounds, right? And then the turnovers, he had one. This was not on Chris Paul. Chris Paul bounced back tonight from where he was the other night. Game 4, yes, Chris Paul. Tonight, no. That was not Chris Paul's fault.
Well, the other thing that we have to credit here is, like Matthew was saying while we were watching the game, we were playing a bunch of Jordans out there tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks shot 57.5% from the field. That is tied for the 12th best finals performance by a team ever. And for the majority of the game, until that fourth quarter, they were at 63%, which would be the best shooting night ever. The best shooting night in finals history was 62.5% by the the Orlando Magic against the Los Angeles Lakers back in 2009. They ultimately lost that series. But, I mean, it was historic shooting. There was no 50-50 balls have gone our way for the past two games. Every offensive rebound. I mean, you think about the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks in this game overall shot 50 of 87 from the field, and they had 11 offensive rebounds. So even, they missed 37 shots, 11 of them they got back. So, 11 divided by 37, mathematically speaking, as I hit my calculator on my computer while I'm trying to talk here, is 20. That's almost 30% of their missed shots they got back.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't win games like this.
And two Giannis missed free throws.
Yes.
If they get the board on the Giannis missed free throw, they still can tie it.
Yes.
It's little things that screwed up. And we said it. Well, some of us said it at the deadline. They needed to get another big.
Mm-hmm.
And I got ripped for it.
I think it was Espo who said that.
Yeah. And guess what? An extra big would have come up pretty damn helpful in this series. Even if it was just for 2 or 3 minutes, an extra big would have been huge in this series. Rebounding has become a detriment to this team, and that it just cost them poor decision making. if Book takes that shot that he has before he drives into three guys, if he misses, they still got time to get the board and they still have time to foul down one. So yes, they'd still get the ball back with a timeout, only down three likely. So the right play is to take the open shot when you have it rather than driving into no man's land and losing the ball.
It just sucks because it was like literally the worst case scenario happened. Literally the worst case scenario.
And he had an otherwise pretty damn good game. I mean, it's not like you look at it. Sure, shooting was just over 50%, so you're not going to complain too much there. 50% from three, 40 points, four rebounds, three assists. But the play at the end, when you needed him the most, he didn't come up with. And that, it just sucks. Because yes, I had a buddy of mine text, and he goes, we thought this was going to be Devin Booker's coronation, right? Mm-hmm. And it's turned into Chris Middleton's coronation. And I've said these two guys are a lot alike when you look at it. And it's just Chris Middleton's getting making the plays at the end right now. And maybe that shifts in these last two games, and Devin Booker gets the last laugh. But holy crap, right now, it's a crappy place to be sitting. It just is. It sucks. And I understand why so many Suns fans are like, here we go again. And we very well may be. This very well may be maybe the biggest thumb in the eye that we've ever gotten because we bought into this so much. But it's frustrating.
That extra big, though, do you think that would have even helped with like the turnovers last game, this game, the way they were shooting?
Would it help with the second chance points? Two rebounds in these games on those second chance points in both these games make the difference. It's the little things that are going to make the difference. I'm starting to sound like Al Pacino in any given Sunday. It's the inches you see everywhere that make the difference. It's like those rebounds, one or two of them, changed the complexion of the game. Absolutely. And they didn't have anybody to get it.
And you look at the remaining, pieces of our roster, Javon Carter, Langston Galloway, Frank Kaminsky, Etuan Moore, Abdel Nader, Jalen Smith. None of these guys are getting playing time. I guarantee you we could have used a couple of these guys to get an asset. And, Espo, both Matthew and I were...
Are we really talking about getting a big here? This is crazy because we're so close to winning the finals.
Exactly, next year, we're not winning. But we're not winning. No, I'm saying...
The big does not matter because...
It does matter right now.
But if they had one, it would matter. Really quick,
let me get this out of the way.
Go ahead.
If we got JaVale McGee, would he be playing those crucial minutes against those rebounds?
Not the crucial ones. No,
but he wouldn't be on the floor in the last minutes, right?
Not the last minutes, but leading up to those last minutes, yes, he would be. He would have minutes in which he would be boxed up Brook Lopez. It would be that extra body where Jay Crowder's minutes would be cut a little bit. You throw him in there, and guess what? You're getting extra rebounds, or you're negating offensive rebounds and second chance points. That's what's killed us these last two games. The fact that we haven't had the capacity to stop their hustle on the boards. You throw another body in there who's bigger than Jay Crowder, and you get those extra rebounds. And again, we're clearly clutching at straws and things. This is an old conversation, but Matthew, you and I were both really big on getting a big at the trade deadline or in the buyout market. And, it sucks to say that now it's the NBA finals and we're like, well, see, it should have happened. But I mean, we were saying that when it happened, the Suns just happened to have played out of their minds since the trade deadline, not needing a big because they weren't playing in series. They were playing team to team, game to game, and you can have the capacity to beat your team or the opposing team with guard play in those situations. But every team that wins an NBA finals always has bigs. It's just the way that it goes, man. This is the fucking NBA.
AJ in the chat makes a good point, though. The Bucks blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not lose sight of that. This isn't an unbeatable juggernaut. Like Monty said in that post game after game four, the mistakes that were made here by the Suns allowed two wins. If they play their game, if you see the first quarter Suns come out for four quarters in Milwaukee, we're talking game seven for Thursday. And Absolutely. All bets are off when you get to game seven. Until you find out Scott Foster's the ref.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm just kidding. But, and not listen, to go there. But
seriously, though, like I'm obviously reacting to the games that I've just viewed, the last three games, a blowout and two games where the Suns beat themselves. They did. The Suns beat them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll give more credit to Milwaukee tonight than I do for game four, because the Suns clearly beat themselves in game four. Tonight, Milwaukee shot crazy, and the Suns still had a shot. So we know they're not a dominant force that's unbeatable. I know that. And can we win in seven? Absolutely we can. But I will react to my frustrations that I'm feeling right now in a game where, again, we once again had a chance to win this game. We had a chance. As amazing as they played, we had a chance, but we didn't win it. And it's a reminder to everybody who was saying Suns in four and all that bullshit. Winning in the NBA is hard, man.
Yeah, but you know what I love? Yeah. The same people that were strutting around Suns and four and all that crap are the same people right now that are like, it's over. This team sucks. Screw this group. Because, you know, it's called a bandwagon. And that's going to happen. And frustration and understanding that and critiquing certain things I get. But the complete, screw this, Monty Williams is a bum. I'm done with this group. They're a bunch of frauds. You know, that's ridiculous. All right.
Who are these people that you guys are hearing this
Were you
from?
Guys not Twitter. On Twitter tonight?
Twitter.
No, I'll hand you my phone. You can read all of them. They're frustrating. There's a few of them in the chat too, but we'll let them.
But the Suns, the Suns at four stuff is kind of cute. It's just a thing that the fans like to do. And no one really thought they were going to win in four. I mean, I even said, remember our podcast before? I don't even remember how many ago, but I said it might be seven games because this Bucks team is so freaking good that we don't even know once we actually until we start to face them, we'll see how good they are. So, I mean, it's just let them have their fun, I think.
Well, exactly. And you know what? There are people in the chat who are actually Bucks fans.
Screw
them. Like after they win a game, instead of hanging out with their own people and you know talking on fellow Bucks channels and stuff, they come to the Suns jam session and Suns Solar Panel podcast. So you know what? We appreciate you Bucks fans who decided to come here after a victory to hang out with Suns fans. That's really awesome of you. Everyone, make sure that you hit the thumbs up button and you subscribe, rate, and review while you're here as well.
Please do. Give us a 5-star review and then rip us in the written part.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, as long as you give me that 5-star, go for it. You can rip me all you
hit
want.
That like button and then rip us in the chat. We don't care.
Go for
it's good for the dollar bills, y'all. Speaking of the dollar bills, y'all, to Walmart Guy Fieri and the guy counting the hundreds. I don't ever want to see you on my television again.
That's perfect. Walmart Guy Fieri, as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what you're talking
Look,
about.
Look, I mean, I just that epitomized my frustration. At one point when ABC cut to them in the third, I yelled at my television. My wife's like, what? I'm like, these guys, I don't want to see them anymore. Yeah. They're just
show the attractive fans. Show the attractive fans.
I don't need to see the attractive fans. Just don't show me the Walmart Guy Fieri and the guy who emptied his bank account so he could count hundreds while Giannis is shooting free
throws. It was Monopoly money, man.
Get me a camera up in the upper deck where the true fans are up there losing their freaking minds, and the only reason their hair's as white as Walmart Guy Fieri is because of the damn stress. That's what's going on with me. Like, I just, it's a dumb thing, but it was the thing that, it was an easy way to let my frustration out tonight was there.
Look, it was funny at first,
Look, if this team is going to find a way, you know, every time, we so many people counted them out all year. So many people sat here and went, this is a fraud. I don't feel like this is a real team. They're going to lose in the first round. Oh, Denver's going to jack stomp them. Oh, the Clippers, it's over. The Clippers have got it figured out. This is another place, right? Let's take game six and then let's roll the dice on Thursday in Phoenix. It's that simple. Just get it back to Phoenix and then whatever happens, happens. Go out there and play your damn hearts out. Leave everything you have. And if game seven happens, great. Make it happen. Will it? Play like this is your last game in the NBA on Tuesday.
And to that point, the Suns are, for the first time this postseason, truly pushed into a corner. And we are really going to see who this team is, what their capacity is, how big their hearts are, because they are officially on elimination watch, and they're going to hear it from the media. If they're smart, they won't listen to it. You know, I will say this, for the past like 3 days, I have pretty much had zero Twitter usage. I'll go on there a little bit, But I really, and you know, Dave, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I'm not writing a ton of articles right now, and I really should be for Brightside, but I'm just trying to like disengage emotionally, because the emotional investment that we're feeling is something that, you know, Espo, I know you and I have definitely been through. Matthew, you're really getting baptized by it right now. You were saying while you're watching the game, you're like, I can't take this shit. You know, it's just like so
well,
many.
Well, actually getting to the finals. Yeah.
Yes, sucks, exactly. You
know? Welcome to the hellfire, my friend.
Welcome to the hellfire.
I would rather just the 21 seasons are good for me. You know, have the summers off, do what I want, put on that new tankini, go swimming. Honestly, but I want to go back to what Espo said too, like how, you know, listen to the media. You don't have to, but the teams that the Suns went through to get to this point, you think about the Lakers. Yeah, they won in the bubble, but Anthony Davis like has to prove himself more, right? He can't just win that bubble championship. Then you go through the Clippers in the third round. And like that's a team made up of Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, guys that need to prove themselves still. Maybe not Kawhi, but Paul George has to, still hasn't. Jokic, MVP, go through him. He has that battle too, to where he needs to go to the finals and win it. The Suns are in the finals. Yeah, they skipped a step. And of course, I don't want to listen or look forward to next year and thinking like, oh, this team's young. They'll get back together. They can do it again. No, I want to win it right now. And then you're also facing Giannis too, who had to prove himself. He's finally here. He's taken forever to get here. And I'm not saying, you know, there's no skip stepping. I am very proud of the Suns team, but the teams that they defeated, those are the most scrutinized teams. Now, if they don't win it, then maybe they start getting scrutinized. But it's just a step there, too, that now they're in this group of teams, but they proved themselves out west to battle those teams and get to this point. That is something that is huge. And I still want to win it all. I'm just saying those other teams that they played were scrutinized as hell.
Now, look, this is your opportunity.
You're here.
This is your chance. The West gets no easier next year, and there's no guarantee that guys who had career years have career years again. There's no guarantee that Chris Paul is even here next year. You have two games to win it. And I don't like the talk of, well, the window's open because it's a young core. That doesn't fly with me, right? We've seen what young cores can do here. Mm-hmm. It's not always pretty. Things can go sideways, and the disease of Moore took down greater teams than this. Mm-hmm. If you want to win, your path is clear. Win two games in a row. Win in Milwaukee Tuesday, win here on Thursday, and you've got an NBA championship. Everything else is noise and a hell of a lot harder than winning back-to-back games here.
Amen. Amen.
Watch 2021.
So DeAndre Ayton's final stat line tonight, 7 of 12 from the field. He had 20 points, 10 rebounds, only two personal fouls in this game. Or I'm sorry, I read the wrong line there. Four personal fouls, a lot of those coming late. You know, I will say this about DeAndre Ayton. I did pop on the Twitter for a little bit and put a tweet out there after that first half, and I stand by that tweet. I really think that DeAndre Ayton had a very pedestrian first half. You look at his statistics, and we always talk about with DA, it's not about the box score. 20 and 10 in the NBA Finals. Guess what? Good box score, DA. Really looked nice. Watching him on the court was not good tonight. There were plenty of opportunities. And Matthew mentioned this a little bit on the last podcast, and I feel like he got shot down a little bit. But a lot of shut up, Matthew. I'm talking.
Shut up.
But a lot of times there were switches in which he had, whether it was Connington or Drew Holiday. And again, I'm going to go back to the fact that like DA had Drew Holiday pinned down a couple times, didn't get the ball right away, and then would just fade away from the action, go to the weak side and watch the play and become a spectator. And the Suns, again, in those situations, you get DA the ball, you have him go at Holiday, and maybe Holiday will pick up a foul and take him out of the rhythm. And I think that DA's lack of aggressiveness, coupled with the fact that he returned to having some stone hands a few possessions tonight. You know, I hate to revert back to some of what a lot of the naysayers were saying in the middle of the season, but that came to fruition tonight. Now, you're going to see those kind of things when you're playing in an opposition that knows how to fluster him. They know to swat at the ball. Every time he gets the ball, he's getting swatted at. So they're going to try to do the things to have him revert to that skill set that a lot of people thought wasn't necessarily positive. But he needs to call for the ball more. and he needs to stop being a spectator. He needs to stop watching the rebound. He needs to, I mean, there was one play with Bobby Portis where they had, there was three Suns down there. Bobby Portis got two offensive rebounds and then an and one. All DA needed to do on that play was locate Bobby Portis and box. You don't need to go for the rebound, big guy. You got Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder right there. Find the guy, box him out, team rebounding. And instead, he's trying to do the tap it to himself thing. Get Bobby Portis gets the ball twice and then gets the and one. And that was one of those plays that really, really frustrated me.
Hey, they've got a guy in the front office that needs to be spending the next 2 days with DeAndre Ayton everywhere he's going, throwing his ass into him and showing him this is how you box out. This is how you get the ball when a smaller guy is guarding you. Mark West, Big Daddy, needs to just be right next to DeAndre Ayton every second and just throw his backside into him. Every time he's not paying attention, just do it until DeAndre registers. This is what I need to do when I have Drew Holiday on me in the post. Like, that drove me nuts. There were two or three times in the second half where they had a mouse in the house, and he could not get position on the guy. That's what he needs to work on. And this is not a condemnation of DA as a whole.
Nope.
It's one thing that he needs to work on that can take that his game to that next level. How he could have dominated in the fourth, in the third and fourth, to try to help them win. Because two extra baskets are the difference here if he backs down a smaller guy. Instead, he lets the smaller guy front him, and then Devin or CP3 or Mikhail, whoever has the ball on the wing, isn't willing to pass it into him with the smaller guy fronting him. He needs to get position.
Yeah, he's not there yet either, and it's probably going to be another offseason, right? So where he can work on positioning, work on his moves down low. Of course, it's a lot to expect the next two games, assuming this goes to game seven, for DeAndre Ayton to, you know, when those mismatches are there, just like last game we talked about, that he just doesn't want the ball. He just shies away from it. That happened all first half. Second half, like John said, there were two possessions where he had the mismatch and he had position. He did, but it was only like for a split second, and you need to hit him right there or do that. Otherwise, he's going to run away from it. So I think he just doesn't have that in his offensive game yet. So they're trying still to just same DA, you know, rim running, do what he can in the post. If he can get underneath the rim, yeah, throw it to him. But the post up stuff's just not there yet. And you would like to attack those mismatches. It's just, I don't think they can right now. And it sucks because you're going to get it a lot on these switches. It's just no one's really comfortable with him having the ball in those situations.
Or getting the ball to him. You know, that's the other thing, is it takes a long time sometimes for Booker or Chris Paul to realize that the mismatch is there. And then when the opposition's putting their hands up, they just go, well, pass around. Like, yeah, they don't make it. You know, when you see that opportunity, drive a little bit. Have, you know, the lane, go, their hands are up like this, go around him real quick, and maybe you can get a rim running pass to DA, because he's going to make that over Drew Holiday. There was one play in that first quarter, and again, that's the emotional roller coaster of the playoffs, man, I tell you. That first quarter was just so unbelievably fantastic for Phoenix. They scored 37 points to the Bucks 21, and you were just, you know, we were fist pumping, saying, fuck yeah. I mean, it was great. And then to come out and give up 43 points in the second quarter and only score 24 and then go down at halftime. I mean, that game just epitomized the entire playoff run of just emotional roller coaster. And again, a game is a game is a game. And going into game six, these are the opportunities that the Suns have, not only to score points, because you need more than Devin Booker. You just do. You need to have something that works. And if you have DA and mismatches, you have to take advantage of those mismatches when they present themselves. The same way that the Bucks, when they find mismatches, they execute when those occur. When you have Mikal Bridges on Chris Middleton, like you said, Espo, Bridges has been burned by Middleton all series long. You got to make that adjustment. And if you don't, the Bucks are going to burn you on that, as they have done throughout the series.
You put Mikal Bridges on Drew Holiday starting next game. It's got to be the move
you
make. And then you have Booker guard Middleton, and you make them work for the points. You make both of those guys work on both ends, right? It's fine. I know you want Devin fresh on the offensive end. Well, guess what? You need defense right now. You need to slow down the Bucks' big three. It's the only way you're going to win game six. And would there not be a sweeter thing than to beat the Bucks at home with their fans chanting the Bucks in six now and shut that deer garden up or whatever the deer
close
district,
it down,
whatever the hell they call it, and then say, all right, everything, one game, let's see what the hell happens, right? I don't care if you have to muck it up like the Clippers did in that series to slow the Bucks down. Now, I'm not saying don't headbutt guys, don't seriously hurt people, but I mean, just get down and dirty, play foul hard, make them earn every bucket that they get, slow it down until it grinds every shot that they have. Like, just do whatever it takes, right? That can fix a lot of wounds. You're going to have a lot of Suns fans singing a different tune. That team's going to feel a lot different if you find a way. You pull it out when nobody expects it anymore.
Matt, there's a game seven. Like today, I didn't sit down once, right, John? I was walking back and forth. If there is a game seven, is there something I can take where I can just float in the air or something? Because I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't even walk
gummies.
Around. Yeah, there you go. Just sit
just
there,
get some of those some gummies. Yeah, and just, you know, just enjoy the ride, man. I mean, it's just, and I think that, you know, it's an astute observation with Mikal Bridges, because guess what? This isn't like the Los Angeles Clippers where every guy on the court could beat you offensively. You can take Chris Paul and just put him on Tucker, because Tucker's a zero, and guess on offense. And if he starts to back down Chris Paul a couple possessions, Chris Paul will pull the chair on him. He'll do something crafty on him, or you could throw a double on him because he's not the greatest of passers. So that is something that the Suns could do to negate that effectiveness. Real quick, where'd you get that hat, Espo?
This was a Just Sports hat.
The Suns Jam Session podcast is brought to you by Just Sports. Enter the code SUNSJAM at checkout for any of your online orders and receive 15% off of your purchase. That's right. Let them know that the Suns Jam Session guy sent you. Again, that is promo code SUNSJAM when checking out at shopjustsports.com.
Such a shameless plug.
They tried to throw me out again when I gave them the Suns Jam Session code
it's
in person.
Online, shopjustsports.com. You say my name in there, I'm the guy who goes in there and puts all of our business cards and all the Suns clothes, and they probably hate me for littering.
They're probably annoyed that people still go to stores to actually buy stuff. They're like, just go online. They
pretty sure that's their full business.
They're 16 years old, and they're like, I don't want to be here, sir.
To hell. Who is this old man with a beard jamming cards in my shirts that I have to go refold? Damn it. That's the problem here. They're just not happy with that. I just... It's that kind of night, boys.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And again, you know, it's a game where you had all of the starters for the Suns scoring double figures. You had 40 from Devin Booker, 21 from Paul, 20 from Ayton, 13 from Bridges, 10 from Crowder. But it was ultimately the big three from the Bucks: Giannis with 32, Chris Middleton with 29, Drew Holiday with 27, and the ever-annoying Pat Connaughton going 4 for 6 from three, scoring 14 points off the bench for
wide
the Bucks.
Open.
Wide open.
Wide open looks.
And yet we were talking about that while we were watching the game together. How
perfect
easy.
Perfect form, perfect pass. No one
wide open.
Jack it up, buddy.
You don't have to dribble anything. Caught right in the chest.
James Jones knows.
Yeah. James Jones sitting there watching like, damn it. Like, you know, and again, you know, I think Saul was saying it earlier and is absolutely right. A lot of our guys shot really, really well. I mean, Bridges, 3 for 3 from three. Jay Crowder, 2 for 4 from three. Cam Johnson, 2 for 2 for three. Torrey Craig was one for three from three. But at the same time, we had a lot of guys who were open too. And I know that there was a couple plays, Matthew, where we're like, yeah, to end the third quarter, Devin Booker wanted to take the final shot to end the third quarter. He gets double teamed. He still holds the ball. Cam Johnson's sitting there like doing like jumping jacks. He's doing Pilates. He's doing some of those burpees because he's so open. And Booker did not give the ball to him. And I think that as the Suns are looking to make adjustments going into game six, that's got to be it. Trust your guys. Trust those around you. Trust the guys who made the big shots throughout the playoffs, throughout the season, the guys who got you here. Devin Booker scored 40 points again tonight, and I love him for it because you know what? He doesn't quit. There is no, you know, die in this guy. He's somebody who, when you look at him, he's given us everything he has in the series. Yeah, game three was a dud, but he's proven that he has the heart of a champion. But the next step for him is to realize that those around him are what are going to make him successful. Michael Jordan didn't stop or didn't start winning until he started realizing, hey, those around me are what are going to allow me to win championships. And Devin Booker is going to have to look at that film, look at it hard, and realize a lot of his teammates are wide open. Allow them the opportunity to take that shot. You're the guy. You're the gravity. Everybody's going to come to you. So pass the ball. I mean, he shot the ball 33 times tonight. The Suns shot the ball 87 times. Devin Booker shot 40% or 38% of the Suns' shots.
Just don't pull a Kobe and only pass. And what yes. could be a deciding game.
Yes.
Still shoot. Yeah. But pick your what drives me nuts is how many games this year did we say the Suns fell in love with the three, even though they weren't hitting them, and they just kept shooting them and it shot them out of the game. Tonight was the opposite. They were hitting their threes and forgot to shoot threes. Yeah. Like, it was weird. Like, they just stopped shooting threes at some point when they were hitting them. And it was just, it was frustrating. But by the way, breaking news.
Uh-oh. Breaking news.
Ballers.
DraftKings free-to-play pools are keeping it cool all summer long. Choose from a wide variety of free contests to enter the pool. Answer a handful of questions. Make picks for free and grab your share of $10,000 in weekly prizes. Dive into DraftKings pools today. Entering one of DraftKings free-to-play pools is simple. Just download the DraftKings app and head to their pool pages. Select from one of DraftKings' many contests, ranging from sporting events that evening to Wacky Weather Wednesday. I still don't know what that is, but I'm gonna participate in a Wacky Weather Wednesday at some point. Then make your picks, watch the action unfold. Entries with the most correct answers will be deemed the winners, which is how winning works. And now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code DRYHEAT. That's code DRYHEAT, not dry heave, which is what a lot of us wanted to do after this game. All players will have a free shot at grabbing $10,000 in weekly prizes without spending a dime. That's code dry heat to feel the sweat only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Got to get the sponsors in there.
You are getting very, very good at that read, my friend.
It's only the second time I've done it today. So
I know.
Why not?
Why not? Well, let's throw this segment out there real quick.
Jam star of the game.
Jam star of the game, Devin Booker.
Begrudgingly.
But yeah, it's
I'm gonna go Cameron Johnson. No, but I like how you talk about Booker, you know, 40-point games back to back. And then when he gets in the situation towards the end of the game, when he's just shooting all the time, he doesn't want to really trust his teammates. It's not that he doesn't trust them, but it's just an adjustment that he has to make where he's already making everything that he's shooting up there. So he's going to continue to do that. And it kind of sucks towards the end when he just doesn't want to pass it up. But yeah, I'm going to give it to Devin Booker.
Can you just hit the other favorite segment that we don't do anymore?
Dario?
The Sarich smoke break.
I need to sit on the stoop right now behind that Circle K and ask Dario to pass me one of those things. I haven't had a cigarette like that since college, but I also haven't been screwed like this in back-to-back games in a long time as well. So a smoke sounds very nice.
Yes,
right about now. And I think all Suns fans could use that. It's going to be a rough few days going in to Tuesday, but don't give up hope yet. There's still a slight bit of light coming in through that doorway, and the Suns can still kick it open. But God, we all need a smoke right now.
Well, do you know what that ray of light is? It's the Suns.
I thought you were going to start singing Madonna, Ray of Light.
I was going to do a share. I was going to auto-tune Believe. Do you believe in life after game five?
Right. Now I'm going to start smoking crack. If we don't get this over with.
All right. Looking at game six, it is Tuesday night. It is in the Deer District or whatever, the Fiverr's, whatever forum. Footprint Center. Matthew, thoughts?
I don't care. Arena names are really weird. I still call it AWA, so it doesn't matter to me.
There you go.
Irony in it, a footprint played a big big difference in this game. If they don't call a foul and Giannis's footprint was obviously out of bounds, it's a different game in that fourth quarter. So just a thought. Not
fair.
Whatever on the name. Okay. But, you know,
I already smoked my crack.
yeah, look, it's still Bucks season. We still may bag a 7-pointer. You know, we got a chance. And all you want is a chance at this point in the year.
Yeah.
So what the hell? Why not?
Why not?
You know, actually, Vanessa Hudgens, I blame her for this loss. Did you see what she did to that beautiful retro Black Suns jersey?
No,
she hacked it off to give her a midriff. I don't care. You don't ruin a beautiful jersey like that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what version of High School the Musical you've been in. You do not cut a piece of art like she did with that. So
I blame LeBron for being there. I always blame LeBron for everything, and I blame him for wasting 45 minutes of my day today as I was bored on a Saturday and started watching Space Jam 2, realized that the entire movie doesn't take place in space, and therefore turned it off. So it's like Internet Jam. So avoid that. But you know what? Truthfully, you don't blame anybody for a loss like this. You take a look at it, you see where you have the opportunity to be better, and you know that the Suns can be better. And again, in my opinion, they're the better team. If you look at them from a team standpoint, we're deeper and we have just a better
play. Three guys are playing though too, right? Off the bench.
Yeah, Cameron Payne, yeah. Torrey Craig, Cam Johnson. Like, they put no small guys in there because they can't afford to do so. But I do think that those, you know, their three, Cam Payne, Torrey Craig, and Cam Johnson, are better than Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, and Jeff Teague. Like, we're better. And you throw Bryn Forbes if they want to, you know, throw a fourth guy in there. We're a better team. We just, again, poor execution, poor coaching in certain situations, and you're still in this game and still in this series. So, yes. Is the road ahead of us hard? Absolutely. But it's the Phoenix Suns. Why wouldn't it be? Nothing's ever easy for us. Nothing's ever been easy for us. We lose coin flips. We leave guys wide open who hit huge threes and let Michael Jordan's team win. Steve Nash gets thrown around like a crash test dummy. Ron Artest changes his name to Meta World Peace and still has some, you know, he's making putback threes or putback layups on missed threes. I mean, it's just we're a storied franchise that has a history of almost. And you know what? We've almost won our third game in the NBA Finals twice now. So let's go get it on Tuesday, huh? Let's go get, for the first time in the history of the franchise, a third win in an NBA Finals, because we didn't do it in 76 and we didn't do it in 93.
But look, you did not instill confidence by bringing up all the past, but that's all right.
How many times did we go through that stuff? How many times, if I do another podcast and we have to add this freaking Finals to that, whatever we talk about with the bad history, I'm going to... Never mind. I don't know.
You're going to smoke some crack?
I'm sick of hearing all this crap.
You're likely going to, at the rate we're going, you may have to. Smoke crack? You may have to add this to the list.
Okay.
But man, I hope not.
I hope not.
Because that list sucks.
I can't listen to this.
Yes.
That whole list sucks. Look,
I think that guy.
I think that guy in the crowd behind Walmart Guy Fieri was a perfect metaphor for Suns fans this series. They counted their money too early.
Mm-hmm.
Stop counting the damn money. And, you know, the Suns even, I think they counted their money. They got happy on the farm, whatever the hell you want to say. And now they get to tap back into what they've been. That underdog, that group that shocked the world, the group that was where they shouldn't have been and still got it done. Where's that team? Wake up and show up in Milwaukee on Tuesday. Without that, you're done. So how about you actually tap into the heart, the hustle, the hope, the team that got you here, and be that group. Be that group from game one and two in this series, the first quarter of this game. Get out there and do something special that nobody expects you to on Tuesday, because that's what it's going to take to stay alive. And that's what we need to see.
No, beautiful. And it's the team, right? I mean, John and I keep talking about how the Suns are the better team, but the last two games, it does not look like it. It looks like the Bucks are actually the ones adjusting. making the correct plays. I know they're making absolutely ridiculous shots all the time, but they are playing like a team, something the Suns have not done the last two games.
That's three. Shit. On that note, I think I'm ready to get out of here. It's a Saturday night. I'm just going to drink my sorrows away because, you know what? I feel like that. So if you're watching, please subscribe on YouTube and smash the like button while you're here. You can become an elite jamster or flaming baller simply by clicking the join button or following the link in the description. If you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun Podcast Network, you can hear Matthew breathing loudly. You can subscribe, rate, and review via the Bright Side of the Sun Podcast Network for all your favorite Phoenix Suns content. Follow the show on Twitter at Suns Jam and at Suns Solar Panel. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Voida. You can follow Matthew on Twitter
at Vincent Vega.
Vince, did you say at Vincent Vega?
Yeah. I was watching Pulp Fiction last night.
I was about to say, I'm like, wow, a Pulp Fiction reference, Matthew. Wow, that was deep, yeah, man. All right.
That made me, I feel good now.
There you go. You can follow Espo
at Suns and Seven. Why the hell not? It's better than the alternative.com.
There you go. Matthew, you got anything else for everybody?
Yeah, go home and smoke crack with your family.
And cry yourself to sleep. Ahoy, hoy.
Take care, bye.